Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Pei Hei, and we will begin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, the last words on Amud Rabbi Shmuel D'Amri Tavayu. Our Gemara continues to discuss, as we began in yesterday's shir, how kinyanim can be affected between a buyer and a seller, particularly when metaltalin are being sold. Says the Gemara, if something is deposited in the keli of a lekeach, in the keli of the buyer, it will always be an effective kinyan, chutz mershus harabim, except if this keli finds itself in a rishus harabim. Otherwise, it's an effective keli, effective kinyan. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Dami Tavayu, Afilah B'Shus Rabim, the Kalev of Olekeach can affect a Kenyan even the Shus Rabim. Says Rapapa, Amra Papa, like Pligi, there actually is no Machlaikis here. Rather, Kam B'Shus Rabim, Rav and Shmuel are speaking about Shus Rabim, a real Shus Rabim. There the halach is that a Kalev Shalekeach cannot effect of a kinyan, can be simta. Rather, here we're talking about a simta, a place that we discussed in the previous year, where both the meicher and lekeach have every right to be there. As we also discussed in the previous year, there's different definitions of the word simta. One is that it's like a side area off the Rishus Rabbim. Another definition of simta is that it's like a protrusion from the Rishus Rabbim. No matter how we define it, it's a place that they both have every right to be there. And since they both have a right to be there, that's why the kinyan will be a valid kinyan. Ask the Gemara if Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not referring to a real Rishus Rabbim, they're just referring to a simta. So ask the Gemara, v'mai korolei Rishus Rabbim. So why do they call it a Rishus Rabbim when they said that the Kalev Shalikeach can affect the Kenyan even in Rishus Rabbim? Answers the Gemara, what they meant was that it's not Sh'ein Rishus Hayochid, that it's not Rishus Hayochid. Point out Tosfos and the Rishonim that in our previous shir we discussed that when can the Kalev Shalekeach affect a Kinyan in a Simta? If only if there was Medida, if there was it was poured in, Madad, as the Mishnah said, Madad L'Toich Kalev. But without Medida, it couldn't affect an Kinyan. Yet our Gemara is saying that as long as it's not a Rishus Rabbim, a Kinyan is always effective. And because of this Kasha, Taisa says that this Gemara is referring to a situation where the Meicher said to the Kalekeach, Zilkani, go and effect a Kinyan. And since the words Zilkani were used, therefore the halacha is that even though there was no Medida, there will be an effective Kinyan. In other words, what Tosfos is saying, that in order for there to be an effective Kinyan in the Kalev Shalekeach in a Simta, you either have to have that there was Madad, or you have to have that the word Zilkani were used. The other Rishonim, however, say that this Gemara is in dispute with the previous Gemara, and even without the words Zilkani being said, or even without Medida, Kalev Shalekeach can affect a Kinyan in a Simta. And actually, this Machlokes Rishonim is reflected in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, as our Gemara says, as long as it's not a Rishus Rabbim, a Kinyan can take place in the Kalev Shalekeach. The Ramah, however, paskins that in order for a Kinyan to take place, you have to have, in the Simta, you have to have that he said either Zilkani or that he was mited. Says the Mahachan Amistabra, and this explanation that we just learned is very understandable. Damar of Avu Amar Byochan. Kalev Sha'adam kind of loy. A person's Kalim can always affect a Kinyan on his behalf. B'kam makam sheish le'rishus l'nichay. If he has permission to put his kelim there, what do we see? Yesh le'rishus in. If he has permission to put his kelim there, then the kelim could affect the kinyan on his behalf. Ein le'rishus, but if he doesn't have permission to put his kelim there, loy, then it can't affect the kinyan. Shema mina. So we see that this explanation that our Papa gave is very understandable. In a simta, he has permission to put his kelim there, and that's why the kinyan is a valid kinyan. In Rishus Rabim, he doesn't have rishus to put his kelim there, and that's why it's not a valid kinyan. Says the Gemara. The Gemara now begins, continues to discuss when the kelov shalakeach, when the buyer's utensils can and cannot affect a kinyan. Says the Gemara, Toshma, Abba midas b'maychrim. And here we have a fundamental machloikis rishonim, how to define the words Abba midas b'maychrim. Most rishonim say Abba midas means four rishuyas. There are four distinct areas. One is the rishus of the meicher, the rishus of the seller. The other is rishus lekeach, the rishus of the buyer. Third situation is a rishus harabim, or chatz she'ena shel shneihem, a chatz that doesn't belong to either of them. And the fourth situation is rishus nifkad, a situation where the seller had left his keli in the rishus of a shomer, in the rishus of a nifkad. However, the Rashbam doesn't accept this pshat, because he says the rishus of the shomer, the rishus of the shomer who's watching the keli on behalf of the meicher, should be considered an extension of the rishus of the meicher. And if this, so why would the braisa separate and distinguish between rishus meicher and rishus nifkat? The rishonim, in defending their position versus the challenge of the Rashbam, explain that the Rishus Nifkat is actually different than the Rishus Meicher. The Ramban explains. He says a Meicher who's selling an item is anxious to sell the item, have it leave his Rishus. And since he's anxious to have it leave his Rishus, he's not going to be masker makom. He's not going to rent the place where the keli finds itself to affect the kinyan. Because that's just the opposite of what he's trying to accomplish. Whereas a shomer doesn't have that consideration. And that's why the rule of a shomer is very different, say the Rishonim, than the rule of a Meicher, and that's why the Braisa separates them into two different categories. The Rashbam, who obviously is not following that answer, therefore explains the four Rishuyas, the Arba Midas, not to be understood as four different Rishuyas, four different types of areas, but rather he explains Arba Midas to mean four Dinim. There are four different rules. One is in a situation where the keli finds itself not in a rishus rabim or chatz she'ena shel shneim. One is a rule that applies where the keli is in the rishus of one of them, in the rishus of somebody, and then we have a din when the keli is in the rishus of the seller, and another situation when the keli is in the rishus of the buyer. So he explains it's referring to four different dinim. So Tashma, says the Braisa, Arba Midas B'Mokrim. There are four, we'll learn basically like the Rashbam, there are four different rules regarding somebody who bought something and it had to put, and it was put in a keli. At what point, how do we have a kinyan? Actually, in a smaller mida, as long as the keli in which this item is being poured into is not full, the halacha is that it belongs to the meicher. It belongs to the seller. Malamida, but once the amount that's being sold has been completely poured into the keli, now belongs to the lekeach. And as we have learned, this is a very relevant halacha lemaisa, an understanding if it belongs to the meicher or lekeach, for a number of reasons. The simple reason is that we need to know who is, if you could retract, as long as it belongs by the Meicher could still retract. Once it's by the Lekeach, he no longer can retract. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is if there were a price fluctuation, and there was a price fluctuation, one of them may want to back out of the deal. And again, the nafkamina will be if it's already considered sold, so he cannot back out of the deal. If it's not considered sold, then the seller could back out of the deal. Says the Braisa. So again, Ashlan Smala Mida Lamaicher. Until it's completely sold, it still belongs to the seller. Mishnah Smala, once the amount that's being sold has been poured into the Keli, it belongs to the Lekeach. B'medva Ramurim, when is this the halacha? B'midosh Einash Ashleim, when the Keli belongs to neither the seller nor the buyer. Aval, if the keli that it's being poured into belongs either to the buyer or to the seller, the halacha is rishon rishon kana. As soon as it enters the keli, it belongs to that person. Meaning that if it belongs to the seller, he retains ownership of the produce even after the measure is full, until the buyer does a real act of kinyan, hagbah, or mashicha. If on the other hand it belongs to the, if the keli belongs to the buyer, as soon as any drop of what's being sold comes into the keli, it becomes the property of the buyer. Avam hoysa midah shalachim mehen, if the keli belongs either to the seller or to the buyer, then the halacha is rishon rishon kana. It either remains the seller's until he does a full fledged kinyan, or it becomes the buyer's immediately. B'medvar mamurim. Furthermore, when was this said? And this will become very relevant to our sugya that we're learning today. If the keli finds itself b'rishus harabim, or b'chatzer she'ena shel shneim, if it finds itself in a rishus rama or a chatzer that belongs to neither of them, aval b'rishus meicher, but if the keli is in the rishus of the seller, loikana, then we don't have effective kinyan at she'ag b'ena until the buyer does hagbah, oy at she'etzienem rishusai, or until he does meshicha. On the other hand, b'rishus lekeach, if the keli finds itself in the domain of the lokeach, there kima shekabel of meicher, as soon as the seller has agreed to sell the item that is under, that is here for sale, immediately kana lokeach, it becomes the lokeach's even before the produce is measured, because the fact that it's in its kenya, in its chotzer, and they've agreed on the terms of the sale, is we already have a kinyan chatzar, even though there was no measurement, because the measurement is really only here explained to Rishonim just to figure out how much was sold and how much is old, but it's not here to affect a kinyan. B'shus halo hamafkad metzla, if this meicher, if the seller had these items in the area belonging to a shomer, he had asked the shomer to watch these items and they were in that shomer's possession, loikana, then the buyer doesn't become the owner of this produce, achi kabalov, until the shomer accepts upon himself, and in a moment we'll explain Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach what achi kabalov means, oy achi yiskas mekaymai, or until he rents the area that that these items find themselves on to the buyer. The stipler makes a very interesting observation. He says that Achiiskas Mekaymai, by the shomer renting the area that the item that's for sale to the buyer. So ostensibly, we now have a kinyan chatzar. Ostensibly, we now have a kinyan chatzar. Asks the stipler that there's an interesting psak from the shach. The shach says that in order for a kinyan chatzar to be effective, the item has to first be on I first have to own the chatzar, and after I own the chatzar, then I could, if the item I'm buying comes onto my chatzar, I have a kinyan chatzar. But let's say, as the stipler, based on the shach, I'm buying, let's say, an item from you, and the item is on your table. And in order for me to make a kinyan chatzar, to have a kinyan on this item, I rent the table, and once I rent the table, since the item I'm buying is on the table, I should have a kinyan. Says the shach, that wouldn't be a valid kinyan chatzar. A valid kinyan chatzar is first I have the chatzar and then the item. So ask the stipler in our Gemara, this item that I'm buying from the meicher is in the possession of the shomer. So first the item is there, and now I'm renting this place. So how could it be a valid kinyan chatzar? Says the stipler that in such a situation, the effectiveness of being soicher es mekoymai, as we discussed in our previous shiur, will not be because of a kinyan chatzar, but rather it will work because of kinyan meshicha, where there this rule that the shach articulates is not applicable. So the Gemara said, at sheikablolov. As I said, we will explain what sheikablolov means. Rabbeinu Yoina actually gives two explanations on what at sheikablolov means. One pshat is that the shomer who's holding this keli on behalf of the meicher accepts upon himself that he will be zoicha, that he will take ownership in this item on behalf of the buyer. Another pshat is, the Rebbeinu Yoina suggests, that he lends the spat on which, the area on which this item finds itself, and thereby the buyer becomes the owner of this item. Explains the tzais, what is the basis of the two different explanations Rebbeinu Yoina offers. He says it's really based on a very interesting shaila. We know, and we will discuss this in Mitzvah Shem and Amud Beis, that a woman, in order to receive a get, of course, if the get is actually placed in the woman's hands, it's a valid get. But the halacha also is that if the get is placed in the chatzar in the area that belongs to the woman, we will also have a valid get. We also know, as we learned at great length in Masecht Gittin, that one of the ways that a woman can receive a get is through a shliach l'kabbalah, which means that the woman appointed somebody to receive the get on her behalf. And there's a question discussed by the Rishonim, what would be the halacha if the shliach l'kabbalah didn't actually receive the get, but the shliach l'kabbalah had the get deposited in his chatzar? Will the shliach l'kabbalah be treated like the woman herself, that if the get is deposited in her chatzar, it's a valid get? Or will the shliach l'kabbalah not be treated that way? The question, so says the Ketzos, that really is what the two pshatim Rabbeinu Yoina offered depends on. If we say that a shliach has the same abilities as the person that he's acting as a shliach for, so just like the lekeach could be koina this item in any way, so too can the shomer who's his shliach be koina it in any way. However, if we say that a shliach doesn't have the same power as the mishaleach, like a shliach l'kabbalah, not having the same rules as the woman, then the fact that he is being zoicha in this item, but it's in his rishus, because it's in his rishus, will not be effective for the loikeach, because it's not strong enough for shliach to be koine in that way. The Machna Frayim actually says this question about what is the strength of a shliach? Does a shliach have the ability to be koine through his chotzer or not? Really hinges on another question, which is relevant in the understanding of Rabbeinu Yoina. How do we understand, says the Machna Frayim, a shliach? How do we understand a chotzer? That a chotzer could be koina on my chotzer could be koina something for me, not just me. Do we understand a chotzer is a shliach? That my chotzer is considered a shliach of mine? Or does my chotzer considered a yad of mine? A yad would make it an extension of me. Says Machna Frayim, if we understand a chotzer being yad, so then the chotzer of the shomer is no different than the shomer himself. And if the shomer could be zoiche in it for the lekeach, for the buyer, so can his chotzer. If, however, we say that a chotzer is affected because of shlichus, the halacha is ein shliach ois a shliach. One shliach cannot appoint another shliach. And therefore, the shomer who is acting as a shliach on behalf of the lekeach cannot ask his chotzer to be his shliach, because ein shliach ois a shliach, and therefore the only way that it would be an effective kinyan here is as the second pshat of the Rabbeinu Yoina says, that he has to actually lend the spot on which this item finds itself, and then it becomes the chotzer, the direct chotzer of the lekeach, which, as we said before, from the stipler, will create a situation of either kinyan chotzer or kinyan mishicha. However, to the point that we're discussing, ketanimiyah, the brises that we just learned taught us, b'shus harabim, if the keli of the lekeach is in b'shus harabim or b'chotzer she'ena sh'shneyem, the halach is that we can have a valid kinyan. My laf, doesn't it mean b'shus harabim mamish, that it's actually in the b'shus harabim? And here the brisa still says that even though it's mamish in the b'shus harabim, we will have an effective kinyan. Says the merloi, that's not what the brisa meant. The brisa meant that it's in a simta. That's why we have an effective kinyan. But in a b'shus harabim, the Bryce is not teaching us that the Caliph Shalakeach could affect the Kenyan. As the Gemara, the Bryce grouped together Rishus HaRabim and Chotzer Shena Shoshneim. As the Gemara, Vadumya, the Chotzer Shena Shoshneim Ketani. Hasn't the Bryce spoken about a Rishus HaRabim and a Chotzer Shena Shoshneim? Now, what is the definition of a Chotzer Shoshneim? The characteristic of a chotzer shneim is that neither of us has a right to be there, not the buyer nor the seller. A rishus harabim is an area where everybody has the right to be there. So how do we say that it means a real rishus harabim? Isn't this, by saying it's a chotzer she'ena sh'shneim, a proof that rishus harabim here means simcha, means a simta? Answers the Gemara, no. My chotzer she'ena sh'shneim nami. What is the definition of a chotzer she'ena sh'shneim? Not that it belongs to either party. Not that it belongs to either party, but rather, or neither party. Rather, it means the loy da hai kula of loy da hai kula. It doesn't belong completely to the buyer or complete to the seller. Ela to tavayu. In other words, what chotzer she'ena sh'shneim is another way of saying chotzer she'shotfim. A rishus harabim is similar, a simta is similar
to Chatzos Shneim. Again, the Gemara assumed that Chatzos Einus Shneim, a simta, is not similar to Chatzos Einus Shneim. A Rishus Harabim is similar to Chatzos Einus Shneim. And that's why the Gemara is saying that how could you define Rishus Harabim here to mean a simta where Chatzos Einus Shneim is more similar to Rishus Harabim than to a simta? So the definition of Rishus Harabim must mean a real Rishus Harabim. Answers the Gemara, no. That the definition of Chatzos Einus Shneim means a Chatzos Shutfim. Now, what is more similar to Chatzos Shutfim? A simta or Rishus Harabim? Of course a simta. So therefore, just like we explained Chatzos Einus Shneim means a Chatzos Shutfim, we'll say Rishus Rabbim means a simta, and that's where the halacha will be, that a kinyan can be affected in the kela of shalakeach. But in a in an area that is truly a Rishus Rabbim, the halacha will be that a kela of shalakeach will not be effective. So now ask the Mara another question. Bar minei Rav Sheshes miRav Huna, kela of shalakeach Rishus Moichem. Here we have a situation that the kalim, that the kalim of the buyer are in the rishus of the seller. Can we have a valid kinyan or not? And as Taisus makes an interesting observation, the Gemara assumed, and that's the way the Gemara paskin, that rishus harabim, kalim shalakeach, cannot affect the kinyan. Rishus harabim. Now our Gemara is asking rishus moicher. Why is Rishus Moicher more of a question than Rishus Harabim? Says Taisus. In Rishus Harabim, no one has permission to leave his kalim there. So therefore, it can't be an effective kinyan. But in Rishus Moicher, where the Moicher gave the Lokeach permission to put his kalim, perhaps, under those circumstances, we can have an effective kinyan. So as the Rashbam explains, what is the basis of the Gemara's question? Is, how do we look at this? Do we look at the kalim, or do we look at the rishus? In other words, what is the predominant factor here? Do we say that the fact that this rishus belongs to the moicher, the kalim are secondary to the rishus, and therefore the kalim shalakeach cannot affect the kinyan? Or do we say that we look into which, where the actual item that I'm buying finds itself, and since that item finds itself in the keli of the lakeach, even though the keli of the lakeach is in the rishus of the meicher, we look into the keli in which it actually finds itself. And as Rabbi Akiva Eiger helps us get a perspective on this question, he says, what would be the situation if we have a keli of the lokeach put into the keli of a moicher, which are in the rishus of the lokeach? He says, there for sure, there is no question. Because no matter how we look at it, if we look in at the place where the item being bought actually finds itself, it actually physically finds itself in the keli of the lokeach. If, on the other hand, we want to look at the rishus and say that that's primary, the rishus is also the lakeach. The fact that this keli finds itself in the keli of the moicher certainly wouldn't make it an ineffective mechira, ineffective kinyan. Here we're referring to a straighter question. The keli belongs to the lakeach, the rishus belongs to the moicher, and the Gemara's question is, can we or can we not have an effective kinyan? And that's why, says Reb Naftali Trop, in a situation where the keli of the lakeach is in a third party's rishus, the fact that the lakeach doesn't own that rishus is not a factor. Because only in a situation, says Reb Naftali, where it's in the rishus of the moicher, that may be a situation where we can't have here a kinyan chatzer, because we consider this the rishus of the meicher. it's in his property. But if it's in a third party's rishus and it's put into the keli of the lekeach, there is no rishus of the meicher hindering a kinyan here, and everybody would agree that we could have an effective kinyan. Tosfos has a different understanding of the Gemara's question. Tosfos says that the Gemara's question is, what does the meicher give to the lekeach when he lets him put his kalim there? What is included in that authorization? And again, if we look into Chedushe Granat and we look into Rav Naftali, Rav Naftali tries to explain that there's really no fundamental difference between the understanding of the Rashbam of the Gemara's question and Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara's question. So again, by minay Rav Sheshes Rav Huna, Kalev Shalakeach Brishus Meicher, Kanalakeach Eloi, Amalai, Tenesua. We learned this halacha in a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin that we refer to earlier in our shir. The Mishnah says, if a get was thrown into the lap, or into her basket, now, at the case is that the woman is sitting in her husband's property, with her basket being on the floor of that property, and yet the Mishnah teaches us that it, since it's the keli of the woman, we could have a kinyan. The get is an effect, is a valid get. So we see that Kalev Shalakeach Brishus Meicher is effective. Amalei Rav Nachman, my time Pashat Flamehe, why did you attempt to bring a raya from that Mishnah? The Machle Mei Uchla Beuchla, which we've already dealt with 100 times, we already have hit this with 100 blows, that Mishnah is not a raya to our Shaila. Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, that Mishnah is referring to a situation where the basket was hanging from her, attached to her, and that's why there it's a valid acceptance of the get. So the Rashbam uses very interesting words. The Rashbam says, so therefore we have a kinyan hagbah. And Avni Nezer, in explaining the Rashbam, says the Rashbam is sort of difficult to understand. There is no kinyan hagboy here. Just because it dropped into her basket that's attached to her, where is there a real hagboy here? There are mafarshim that do want to explain that it is considered a kinyan hagboy. Tosfos in Masechet Gittin, Masechet Ksubos, says that since the kalsa is attached to her, it's considered like it was actually placed in her hand. And certainly everybody will understand that if the get is placed in the hand of the woman, even if the woman is sitting in her husband's chatzar, the get would be a valid get. However, the Avni Nezer says that when the Rashbam says that it's considered like a kinyan, that's considered a kinyan hagbah, he doesn't mean it's actually kinyan hagbah. For as I said, where do we have hagbah here? Rather, explains the Avni Nezer, that as we've learned and will learn in Mitzvah Hashem, hagbah is the most valid form of kinyan. And what the Rashbam means to say here, says the Avni Nezer, that since the basket is connected to the woman, it's certainly considered as if it came mamish into her rishus, and therefore it certainly would be considered a valid get. And it can't be a raya to a situation where of Kalev Shalakeya rishus shemaicha. Rishlakish Amar, it doesn't have to be so strongly attached to her. Kshura, if it's tied to her, Abishayna Tluyba, even if it's not actually hanging from her, even if it's resting on the floor of the husband's property, as long as it's actually attached to her, it's enough. Rav Adabar Havamar is referring to a situation that the basket is right between her thighs. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that when a person allows another person to sit on his property, included in allowing to sit in his property is that the area right next to where I'm sitting becomes mine. And even though, explains the Rashbam, that is when a husband and a wife, that a husband, when a husband allows his wife to be on his property, he's giving her full rights for the area around her. But here, this is a couple that's getting divorced. They don't have that type of relationship. Explains the Rashbam that since when the woman sat down in this property, they were not yet divorced. And since they weren't yet divorced, as I just said, a husband's authorization to his wife includes the area directly around her, and therefore it's included. That's why putting the get into the kalta would be an effective get. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different teretz. Rav Amiyama is referring to a situation where a husband sells baskets, and there are many pshatim in Baal Amoicha Chalsus. The Rashbam says that since the husband is a person who sells baskets, so he has a hot place where all the baskets are kept, and he doesn't care about one more basket, one less basket, and he lets her have the place where he keeps the baskets. Another explanation, which the Rimi Gash gives, is that here we're referring to a situation where the wife bought this basket from her husband. And included in the sale of the basket was that the husband, when selling her the basket, said, "You'll have a right to keep the basket here for storage." So he sold her storage space for a basket. Ritva says a very interesting pshat. Again, Ritva says that the husband is a person who sells baskets. And a person who sells baskets is anxious to show that he has a large variety of baskets. And therefore, it's to the husband's benefit that this basket be here, because it enhances his position that he has many baskets for sale. And therefore, it very much is a situation that he wants the basket there, he wants her basket there, and therefore the get is considered as if it came into her rishos. When a wife is in her husband's property, where she sits, where a lap is, belongs to her, and where her basket is, belongs to her. Amarova, my Tamad Rabbi Yochanan, what is the reasoning for Rabbi Yochanan? Fishay or the Makbid, a person is not particular, loya makam cheka, for loya makam kalsa. So therefore, we can't bring a raya from this Mishnah regarding Kalev Shalakeach, Breshusa Shamaicher, because as the Gemara just explained, that's a unique situation. So we're still with our question, can the Kalev Shalakeach affect a Kenyan Breshusa Shamaicher? Says the Gemara, Pshayt Lamaha, Breshus Maicher, we learned in the Braisa that we quoted earlier, Breshus Maicher, if the keli was in the rishus of the meicher, like konach yagbiyana or actually yitzianim rishusai, there is no kinyan unless there's agbo or meshicha. My love, now says the Gemara, isn't that brisa referring to a situation of a keli of the loikeach? And yet the brisa says we don't have an effective kinyan the keli of the loikeach because they find themselves rishusai shemeicher, and that's why the only way to have a kinyan here is by having hagba or meshicha. Says the Maraloi, the brisa is referring to a situation the keli of the meicher, but it could well be that if it was the keli of shalakeach, hagba or meshicha would not be necessary. Ask the Gemara, Medereisha be the Kalev de Moicher, if the fact that the Braisa in the previous case speaks about Kalev de Moicher, Sefer Nami, we'll have to explain, refers to Kalev de Moicher. Aim a Sefer, so let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa said, if the Kalev find themselves, Rishus Lekeach, if it's in Rishus Lekeach, there the Aloch is, Kivin Shekivin Alav, Meicher, as soon as the seller has agreed to sell, they've agreed to the terms of the sale, the loch is kana lekeach. Ask the Gemara, vibe Kalev the Meicher, if we're explaining that it's referring to Kalev the Meicher, amai kana lekeach, why would it be a valid kinyan? Kalev the Meicher, how could they affect a valid kinyan? Says the Gemara, sefer oson, that part of the Braisa is referring to a situation where it's Kalev de Lekeach. Ask Tosfos, why couldn't the Gemara have answered that even though the kalim of a lekeach cannot affect a kinyan in Rishus Meicher, the kalim of a Meicher can affect a kinyan on behalf of the lekeach in the Rishus of the lekeach? Says the Rajba, that we learned before that why is the halacha, the kalim shalekeach Rishus Meicher, perhaps not a valid kinyan? Because maybe what's necessary to affect a kinyan is that you have to have both factors working in your behalf. It has to be your keli and your rishus. And therefore the Gemara did not want to say that Caleb Shemoicher can affect the kinyan rishus of the lekeach, because even though it's the rishus of the lekeach, the Gemara here is thinking that maybe that's not enough to have a kinyan. You also have to have both the keli and the rishus. And therefore the Gemara says that this case is referring that it's the kalim of the lekeach and the rishus of the lekeach. Ask the Gemara, my Pascha, what makes us understand that in the when we're speaking about the rishus of the meicher, we assume that the kalim belong to the meicher. And when we were speaking about the rishus of the lekeach, we mean to be talking about the Brisa means to be talking about the kalim de lekeach. And it's Gemara, simple teretz, stam de milsa, bay macher mani de macher shrichi. In the domain of the meicher, you'll find the meicher's kalim. Bay lekeach, in domain of the lekeach, mani de lekeach shrichi, you'll find the kalim of the lekeach. And therefore, the Brisa is not a raya, because the kalim in the reisha are talking about the kalim of the meicher. In the sefer, we're talking about kalim the lekeach b'rishus shalmeicher. But what the halacha is about kalim shalekeach b'rishus shalmeicher has not yet been determined.